your face in every flower. Your eyes in stars above. It's the thought of you, the very thought of my flower, your eyes in suns above. It's just the thought of you, the very thought of you, my.
This is a podcast where regular people talk about regular things that society deems weird in order to break down stigma and taboos. Welcome to Feeling Weird.
Hello, you are listening to a very special episode of All Access Pass. This is the Feeling Weird takeover of All Access Pass, and we are joined in studio over the phone by Kai Plant. Kai, do you want to say hi? Let's see if this, your audio works here.
Hello, hello.
Yay!
Does it work?
Yes, awesome. And I am very joined good. In studio by three other collective members. Do you guys want to introduce yourselves?
Oh, I'm Miriam. I'm very loud right now. Yeah, I've been with the collective for a while, and I'm really excited to be here today.
Hi, I'm Connie, and I'm really happy to be here. It's my first time being on air.
Yay!
And this is DP, and I think you all know that I've been a part of the collective since last year, so great to be here.
Yay! So what are we talking about today, guys? We are trying something new. Yeah. Do you want to, before we jump into that, before we let you know, Miriam, do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, so as always, we are broadcasting live from the AMS Student Nest on the traditional, ancestral, occupied, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people. Our show that talks about accessibility for those with diverse cognitive and physical disabilities on campus and beyond. And we are going to be diving into something a little different today. We have a Skype guest.
We have a Skype guest. Kai is joining us from Victoria. Hi.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, and with that, I guess it's time to get to know our guest. DP, you want to start?
So my first question is, it's common for mental health to be romantic in mainstream music. What are your thoughts on this, seeing that your podcast takes apart from the taboo and the personalized stigma to relate mental health?
I'm sorry, I have no idea what you just asked.
It's common
romantic?
Romanticized.
Yeah.
Okay.
For mental illness to be kind of played off as kind of like a kind of in a drama romanticized way, especially in a lot of like top 40 kind of hits. We just want to know where does your music center within that?
Mainstream music.
I would say my music is mostly all about mental illness in one way or another. And I'm not shy about it. I don't try to tiptoe around it. I'm like very open about my struggles. And I find that being honest is the best way for me to express myself, if that answers it at all.
Yeah, for sure.
Being honest is the best way to deal with a lot of things. Honestly, we need way more of it in the world. Okay, so moving on. Perfect. What was it like for you growing up? How did you figure out, for lack of a better word, you were queer or not identifying with the gender binary?
Ah, yes. That's a giant question.
With the people around you or with yourself, just like...
I think that process has been... it's just a constant. It's always going to be a process. And because I don't think I ever come to a point where I fully understand myself or I fully, like... can identify a certain way. So I guess that's why, I just would use a word that doesn't fit into like kind of a binary such as genderqueer. But as a kid, I guess, yeah, I always felt a little different, but I just didn't know, like I didn't even know what anxiety or depression was until I was in my 20s. So I just thought I was kind of crazy, I guess.
And like how, and was it music that you kind of found to, like, when was it that like, oh, I can write about this? Was that kind of something you put together? Or was it something over time you were like, oh, I play music, maybe I can sing about this?
Yeah, well, I started playing music in high school and it really kind of helped me with my depression. It eased it a little bit, but I never wrote music and I never... The bands that I played in, I was always in other people's bands. So when I was about maybe 2 or 1.5 years ago, that's when I started writing music myself. And then it was just like, okay, well, I have to write what I've been feeling because it's been so long that I've been playing music, but I haven't been able to express myself.
Right. So did you feel the words came easy to you then because it was a topic that you yourself were familiar with, in a sense?
I wouldn't say it comes easy, but yeah, it does. It comes more natural than anything else. when I try to write songs about other things, they just sound very contrived or, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. DP, do you want to take through with next question?
In September of 2016, you released your EP, Thank You for the Mental Illness. Can you explain the creative process behind it?
The creative process is a bit like having a bit of a mental breakdown. Every time I record something, it's like... just constantly battling with like that voice in my head that tells me I'm not good at anything, and it's never an enjoyable process, but it is at the same time because it does overall ease the feelings inside my head, but it's not always an enjoyable process necessarily. If that answers your question, I don't know what that does.
No, that's good.
This I'm really excited to hear about this. But so the cover of the EP has a bit of story behind it, and like I've read up about it, but I'm interested. Can you explain to our listeners what it is and why you chose it? In the cover, literally the only thing you're wearing on you is what appears to be like the hospital bracelet. Was this intentional? Like.
yeah, that was after my first trip to the psych ward. Mm-hmm. I was living at my parents' house, and I just decided that was at the time when I finally started talking about my mental illness, and because before then I just kept it inside. I never told anyone. Mm-hmm. And so that photograph was kind of like the very beginning of me just being like totally open and honest about everything. So yeah, it's me being very vulnerable And I don't know. Does that explain it?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly like advise all our listeners to check out. I mean, the EP, but the cover as well. I agree what you said about it. It communicated vulnerability really, really well. Would you say it was, like, would you say it's the beginning of? You said it was the beginning of your process about like speaking up about it. It was there any sort of like healing? I want to say or like. Was that not the message? Like, it was just like, this is still it? Or was it like, I'm moving on
right
off of this? Does that make sense?
That's a good question. I don't know if... I mean, yeah, it has eased it a little bit, mm-hmm. I would say. But I think between the podcast and my music, I think those are two giant outlets for me. So I can't say it's just releasing an album that would do it. I think like really just talking about it is the biggest release for me. So whether that's with someone on a podcast or whether it's just me talking to my friend about the things that are like really troubling me, I think those are the biggest outlets or the biggest releases.
Of course.
No, that's definitely like, you can tell when you look at the album cover and you listen to the songs, like it, you seem like you've definitely put yourself out there for sure and exposed something that I feel like a lot of people probably, you know, can side with, but at the same time it's a lot of people can understand, like learn to understand or, you know, gain a better understanding from listening to your music.
That's nice to hear.
Yeah, I mean, we should move on from this topic, but what struck me is that there was like no sort of like attempt, there was like nothing that tried to show that like, oh, you know, I'm strong or whatever. It was just like very,
you mean like, it, yeah, like, it was like you were,
it touched me so much, like yeah,
you were put together, not that's, we're saying bad things,
okay, that's, but not I just mean that a lot of people front, who struggle kind of with mental illness, like I haven't personally, but the people in my life who I know have, they try to be so careful with their like their image online, and it was just like, sometimes I feel like maybe it's just easier to like not have to hide it all the time. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
We're actually going to be, I think we'll probably talk about that later too. Okay. Is this, but yeah, interesting. But
yeah,
yeah,
like,
well, what are your
the
thoughts
cover
on
before
that? For
anything.
Sure.
Yeah, anyways, we should move on. Enough yeah. about the cover. Let's talk about the music.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the story behind the creation of Feeling Weird?
Okay. So, around the time that I took that picture for the cover was, I had a pretty big mental breakdown and I wasn't able to like really do anything. And one of my big tools in recovery was listening to different podcasts where people were talking about their depression. And so that was so, so helpful for me. And that was 2 years ago. And since then, I'd always thought about doing one, because I could never find a podcast that actually totally spoke to me. It was always like, yeah, it's good, but like this or that. So like, I had this idea for so long, and then eventually one day I just decided to do it, and I had no idea what to do, but I just recorded one with my friend, and it seemed to work out. So, and yeah, that's the story.
Hey, I love it when things work out. okay, in an interview with CITR, so that's us, you had, well, not our collective, but that's, yeah.
That's us.
Never mind. you had mentioned the queer lens approach on your podcast. In what ways is it unique in comparison to the other podcasts on Tells? I feel like you touched on this, but maybe just elaborate more.
Yeah, I think that was kind of the thing that always bugged me. I listened to this one podcast that I really love, but it's from the perspective of a, you know, like a cis dude, and I think he's great, but at the same time, like, he's not, it's just like not quite the lens that I want to hear, mm-hmm. or see it through. And so I think, I don't know, for me, it's just I would much rather listen to people that are either queer or like allies or, or even just like a spectrum of people. So it's not just a certain type of, of person that shows up. Like, even if the person's not queer, like, it's cool as long as there's like diversity of people.
That's the word.
That makes sense.
Diversity,
Yeah, for sure. I think as well, like, even just like a podcast about mental illness that has a queer lens approach, I think that, that's very approachable. I mean, not approachable, it's accessible for and relatable for a lot of people, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I hope so.
Your podcast has been around for a year, correct?
Not quite, but like, I think more like 8 months.
Oh, okay. Well, but how has it changed for you when dealing with mental health?
Well, I took about 3 months off because I just, I couldn't handle it. It was too overwhelming for me. And I guess that's just going to be part of the process, is like, sometimes I'm going to have to step back because that's just how my brain works. So, yeah, I think my new strategy is to build up like a lot of episodes in the bank so that when I do have some kind of like mental collapse, I can still release stuff. But yeah, it's definitely a struggle with dealing with my mental illness and talking about my mental illness. It definitely makes it hard, but it's also like so liberating at the same time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you found that like your personal understandings as well of mental illness, because I know you bring on people that also have different types of mental illnesses, do you feel like your perception of mental illness in general has changed as well?
Oh yeah. I definitely think so. But I think more so just my perspective of a lot of different things, because it doesn't only talk about mental illness. We, you know, for example, someone came on and talked about being HIV positive, and like, honestly, I didn't know that much about it. And for him to talk about that would just like kind of blew my mind open.
Right.
Because I had only heard it through like a certain lens. And I just found that interview so valuable to shift kind of like the stigma that I had been brought up to believe. Mm-hmm. I guess if that makes sense.
Oh yeah.
No, for sure. For sure. I guess, I mean, cause I've seen like, well, I mean, you don't, I think you were saying like, I was listening to one, like you don't do interviews all the time, but you do have done quite a few. So that's interesting to see that. There's a takeaway from it in a sense.
Yeah, definitely. Like every episode I learned something. Yeah, and that's really cool.
No, I connect with that so much. Like I'm only a volunteer, but I came into the show not anticipating the things I would learn. It's like not the things that I thought I would learn that I did.
Oh, yeah.
If that makes sense. But yeah.
That's very cool.
It is.
So I guess with that, we're going to get started. So our episode, well, we're on the radio. There's music. We talk much about music, but it's very rare that like the music we play on our show has to do with our topic. So this is a very special thing. We're going to get started, and we're going to be playing songs that talk about mental illness. And the first song we're going to play, Kai, you picked this song. Do you want to go ahead and introduce it?
Yeah, so this is a song by Rilo Kiley, and it's a song called A Better Son or Daughter. And I have listened to this song so many times, and it's like, it just like, it gets me at the core of like my depression and like my existential depression and just like everything that seems to be weighing down on me. And the words just hit me so hard, and I love it. I don't know if that's a good explanation.
That was excellent. That was good. Okay. So with that, we're going to get it started. There's a bit of a content warning here. There is swearing. We chose the song because, you know, it does bring through the message. But if swearing or explicit content is not your thing, tune back in about 5 minutes. We're going to be talking again. So yeah, with that, enjoy the song.
on my lungs. I know I can't breathe and hope someone will save me this time. I'm and your mother still calling you insane and high, swearing it's different this time. I'm and you tell her to give in to the demons that possess her and that God never blessed her insides. Then you hang up the phone and feel badly for upsetting things. Crawl back into bed to dream of a time when your heart was open wide and you loved things just because, like the sick and the dying. And sometimes when you're on, you're really fucking on, and your friends, they sing along and they love you, but the lows are so extreme that the good seems fucking cheap, and it teases you for weeks in its absence. But you'll fight and you'll make it through, you'll fake it if you have to, and you'll show up for work with a smile. You'll be better and you'll be smarter and more grown up and a better daughter or son and a real good friend. You'll be awake, you'll be alert, you'll be positive though it hurts, and you'll laugh and embrace all your friends. You'll be a real good listener, you'll be honest, you'll be
Hello, and we are back with All Access Pass here. You were just listening to which, what was it again, Kai?
A Better Son or Daughter by Rilo Kiley.
Awesome. And with that, we have our next song, and DP chose it. Can you tell us a little bit about the next song, why you chose the song?
Sure. So, in the earlier stage of her life, Lovato had suffered from depression and is an advocate for mental health. In fact, she had acknowledged she had bulimia, even harmed herself, and used, as she called it, self-medicating with drugs and alcohol, as she described it, like a lot of teens do to numb their pain. Demi further explained she even had a nervous breakdown at times and was diagnosed with bipolar disorder during her treatment. In 2011, Lovato became an editor for 17 magazine, writing an article which she described her struggles with mental health. in 2012, MTV aired a documentary called Demi Lovato, Stay Strong, and it was about Demi's rehab and her recovery. So this celebrity definitely knows how it is with mental health and can easily relate. That is why I think Demi Lovato's song called Warrior, which advises everyone who is going through something in their lives, that it'll be okay.
Yeah, so actually also when I was like looking up this song, it was, so her first album, oh, I forgot the name, but she got a lot of criticism from like the more music critical side of her audience that was like, it's too poppy, it's too mainstream. And then she came out with this album, which was Demi, and they were like, oh, this is more you. This is very intimate. And it's funny, Kai, you were saying how, like, when you were writing your music, it was hard to write it. And she said that this was the easiest to write and the hardest to perform.
Mm.
So I don't know if you can, like, relate to that.
I can, yeah. Definitely.
But, yeah. Anyway, we're going to listen to that. This is Warrior.
Warrior.
Awesome.
Now I'm a warrior. I'm stronger than I've ever been. And my armor is made of steel. You can't get in. I'm a warrior, and you can never hurt me again.
Hello, hello. That was just, DP chose the song. Do you want to, what song was that?
That was Warrior by Demi Lovato.
Yeah, over the break we were just talking about how interesting it is that, like, Demi Lovato, she was a Disney star, and her life was kind of, like, propelled into fame and under this spotlight, and how that must have, like, done a lot for her, you know, her mental health and her trying to find herself, because I know that there was kind of a process to that.
Yeah, I think also she got in a lot of trouble for speaking out about it, although to my understanding, a lot of Disney stars struggled with this, and I think as much people that she repelled, like, she scared people away, but also I think it was a lot of teens did connect with her, and it, I mean, she changed her image, but as a result, I think she ended up helping a lot of people, which we forget sometimes. It's like more important, more significant, and yeah, progressive.
I remember as well, like, because I guess she was like a Disney star, and she was, well, she's also a girl, she's a woman.
Yeah.
There was a lot of pressure on her weight as well that was fluctuating at the time, which I don't know if that was, but yeah, I just like, just everything on display is kind of
hard.
She started quite early. We were talking. Yeah, she's Barney ears.
Yeah. Barney and Friends.
Barney and Friends.
For sure.
Yeah. No, for sure. So, yeah.
How did you know she was on Barney?
Oh, to Miriam. Miriam, okay,
there's
you
a
know
couple
she
of reasons. A, I love Barney, and I don't watch it anymore, unfortunately. But I keep up with it. Also, I have, like, 5 younger siblings, so
okay. It's okay if you watch.
I mean, I watch my siblings watch Barney. Okay,
it's that was like a throwback episode. Like Demi doesn't, Demi's not on Barney anymore.
Yeah. It was like one of those cool facts about like someone that would just stick with you out of like everything you hear about that person. That's the one thing you'll remember. It was just kind of like that for me.
I bet you she probably gets that like now and then when she's in conversation. Weren't you? Like, I know you have an established career, critically acclaimed album, but weren't you on Barney?
You worked with Barney. Let's talk about
that. She was on
that.
Camp Rock.
Yeah.
All right.
She was really young on Camp Rock.
She was like 17
and she looked so different too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they had, like, a very specific, like, she was that, like, innocent, like,
girl next door,
the Jonas Brothers, like, give her confidence, like,
ugh.
Sorry. Definitely the Demi in the album that we just listened to is not the same, I don't think. So I guess we'll go on to our next song here. We are squeezing for time. We're going to try to get as many songs as we can to you. This next song, I chose it. It's by Passion Pit.
She's very excited about it.
I was very excited about it. So Passion Pit is now a one-person band. It features the singer Michael, Angelikos, who has rapid cycling bipolar disorder, rapid cycling bipolar 1. He was diagnosed when he was 17 years old, and it's something that he's had to deal with his whole life. In a really high-profile article by Pitchfork, he detailed 10 years of trying to battle with it, as well as because he was propelled into fame so quickly, how that added to it and how it complicated it. But what the article, one of the reporter that ended up doing this article had ended up building quite a close connection with him. And one of the lines from the article, the reporter says, like, his disorder is part of who he is, but he doesn't want it to define him. So, he says, like, he didn't want to be known as that bipolar musician. He's kind of throughout his album and different albums, you can kind of hear it, especially in Gossamer, which is a song that I'm going to play, which when he was writing it, he was going through a lot. It wasn't an easy process. Kind of, I don't know if it was, I don't think it's similar. Kai, you were saying that it's not easy to talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
To sing about this stuff, especially if it's not something you've gotten over already. No, and not to say that you've gotten over it, or to say that.
No, I'm totally over it. I'm cured. I was gonna say that this makes me like Passion Pit so much more, though.
I know.
Just knowing this about them.
I know. It's like, and they like, the thing is, son, you'll hear this, and we're gonna play another person a bit after. Hopefully, we'll have time to play another person after this. Is Passion Pit. Beats are so happy. It fits under the category of like of pop music. Yet if you listen to the lyrics, like the song I'm gonna play right off the bat, he's like, "I'm sorry, I was drinking gin. Like you need to take care of me." Like it's heavy. It's heavy, and it's hard to tell. Awesome. So yeah, I guess with that, we'll play the song. This is called "I'll Be All Right." Something he said about it here. Let me find the quote. Where is this quote? I cannot find the quote anymore.
Is it "I Thrive Under"?
Nope. I am looking. It was basically out here. He says, "Listen, I'm crazy, so get the fuck out. I'm never gonna get better. The party is over." Now that's a bit pretty negative, but I think it's just speaking to this like people who are trying to help. Sometimes, you know, you want them to feel better and like overnight, and that's not always possible. So I think that was written in that moment of frustration. Yeah. So with that,
I can relate to that.
Would you like to speak to that just before we get into the song, or?
Oh, just that, the idea that the person will just get better real quick. Mm. That's so wrong. Takes time.
Right. No, for sure. So guys, listen closely to these lyrics. They're written by him. It's a really good illustration of it. So yeah, enjoy.
Can you remember ever having
do you raise my hand? One second. We are making sure. Hello. Kai, can you say hello quickly?
Hello.
Awesome. Okay, guys, you are still listening to All Access Pass. We are talking about mental illness and music. You were just listening to Passion Pit's I'll Be All Right, which is, I think, just super centered in our conversation because the coming with this album that they came out with, it was this the band came out with, it was like it was chronicled during a time when he was just going through a lot of pain and drama with his mental illness, so each song was like arduous to come out with, so it chronicles and frames a certain point in his life. And Kai, we were just talking about kind of that, you know, you don't really come to a definite happy ending at the end of this album, because, you know, the reality of mental illness is that it ebbs and it flows. It doesn't have a solution always.
Yeah, I think that's like a really important thing to talk about, but also to understand, because I seem to run into this idea that you'll just be cured, you'll find this thing, and suddenly you'll be rehabilitated into like having a normal brain. But it's like, no, it's something that you'll live with probably forever, in at least in my case, and it takes time, and yeah, it's like the ebb and flow of it is like inherent.
Right. Yeah. No. For sure. Yeah. The same with the album before that. It was called Manners. There was just this. Yeah. It's. And I think as well, because he's in the main, like, the spotlight, there's a lot of his audience and demographic that just don't understand. Like, when he came out with, when he ended up talking to Pitchfork and chronicling his bipolar disorder, which, you know, a lot of people hadn't known about before, he got a lot of backlash. All people were like, oh, this is actually, you're just saying this because you want an excuse because you've canceled a bunch of your shows before. And you just want this as a publicity stunt. So,
oh, that's brutal.
Yeah. He's talking to a lot of people who, you know, maybe just don't understand in a sense.
Yeah, that's just kind of part of the process, isn't it? Dealing with people that don't understand and right. Hitting your head against the wall.
Right. Do you find that as well with your podcast when you get feedback from it, like people that just, there's like a bridge of understanding that has not been crossed yet?
I think that for the podcast, it's like people are only going to access it if they're interested in it. There's not really going to be people that are not somehow involved in that kind of world, whether it's like trauma or mental health, whatever. Everyone that listens to it kind of has an invested interest in it,
right,
I think.
Right.
Yeah, so it's a little bit different.
Oh, that's nice.
Whereas like with someone's album, anyone can listen to it and then judge it, right?
Right.
It was a little different.
Oh yeah, for sure. So our next song, Connie, you chose the song. You passed the mic over to her. There you go. So do you want to introduce the song? Tell us a little bit about what we're gonna hear next.
Hi, so the song is Everybody Hurts by R.E.M. And he has
classic.
Become an anthem that was prominently used in anti-suicide and campaign years ago. And it starts as a song to comfort younger people and attempt to make it accessible to someone who hasn't been to college, has made it applicable in all kinds of situations. And also, it's the number 3 song to listen to when depressed. So I hope you guys like it.
It was voted. it's been categorized and voted on. Yeah. So yeah, enjoy. If you may not know the song by title, but I promise you, once you hear it, you'll probably know what we're talking about.
When your day is long and the night is yours alone.
Sometimes, sometimes everything is wrong. Now it's time to sing along. When your day is night, hold on, hold on. If you feel like letting go, if you think you've had too much of this life, hang on. Cause everybody hurts. Take comfort in your friends.
Hello, you were just listening to the very famous, the very classical, not classical, that is not the genre that that is. No, no, no. You were listening to REM's Everybody Hurts, which Connie, our lovely volunteer, was explaining just before, that it kind of became the, like, campaign anthem for anti-suicide campaigns and awareness programs at the time. It got played at a lot of high-profile celebrity funerals at the time too, and it really connected to people on such a strong level, and I think that's really powerful because it was just the lyrics. Like, the band isn't even really being specific about what they're they're talking about an emotion. They're very clear about an emotion, but what that emotion has to do with is not very clear yet. It, you know, a lot of people sided with it and understood it, which I think is really cool. Yeah, Lauren, do you want to explain the next song we're going to play?
Yeah, so we're going to listen to Deja Vu by Eminem. And I really love this song because he's so honest and so vulnerable. And he talks about substance abuse, but he doesn't glorify it at all, which I think is really important.
Right.
And there are so many kids that look up to Eminem, so I think it's important to see this side of him.
Yeah, for sure. I really like it as well because he doesn't, in the lyrics and at the end, like, he tells a story, but he doesn't tell a story that, like, has kind of, it's like, again, it doesn't have, like, a happy ending. He really brings across the point, you'll hear it in this lyrics, that he is stuck. Like, he's stuck in a cycle where he just keeps needing to abuse different substances, which is the very messy and often hidden part of mental illness. So I think that that's really cool that we're going to talk about that. So as we play this song, again, this is a content warning. Like we were saying, Eminem does not sugarcoat things. Content warning for substance abuse, maybe a little bit of swearing. The song is going to be about 4 minutes, so if swearing and substance abuse is not your thing, we get it. Just tune back in 4 minutes.
DMC, we have a mid-30s male found down, unresponsive. Possible overdose, substance unknown, pulse is 60 and thready, respirations 8, he's intubated and we're bagging him now. BP 90 over PAL, patient is cool, pale and diabetic, has aspirated, GSC is 3, we'll update and route, ETA 10 minutes.
As I fall deeper into a manic state, I'm a prime candidate for the gene to receive the drug addict trait. Blood pressure climbs at a dramatic rate. I seem to gravitate to the bottle of NyQuil, then I salivate. Start off with the NyQuil, like I think I'll just have a taste. Couple of sips of that, then I gradually graduate to a harder prescription drug called Valium, like yeah, that's great. I go to just take one and I end up like having 8. Now I need something in my stomach cause I have an ace. Maybe I'll grab a plate of nachos and I'll have a steak. And you think that with all I have at stake, look at my daughter's face. Mommy, something is wrong with that, I think. He's acting weird again, he's really beginning to scare me. Won't shave his beard again and he pretends he doesn't hear me. And all he does is eat Doritos and Cheetos and he just fell asleep in his car eating Three Musketeers in a rear seat.
Sometimes I feel so alone, I just don't know. Feels like I've been down this road before. So lonely and cold, it's like something takes over me as soon as I go home and close the door. Kinda feels like deja vu. I wanna get away from this place I do, but I can't and I won't. Say I try, but I know that's a lie, cause I don't. And why I just don't know.
Maybe just a nice cold brew. What's a beer? That's the devil in my ear. I've been sober a fucking year and that fucker still talks to me. He's all I can fucking hear. Marshall, come on, we'll watch the game. It's the Cowboys and Buccaneers. And maybe if I just drink half, I'll be half buzzed for half of the time. Who's the mastermind behind that little line? With that kind of rationale, man, I got half a mind to have another half a glass of wine. Sound asinine, yeah, I know. But I never had no problem with alcohol. Ouch, look out for the wall. Aim for the couch, I'm about to fall. I miss the couch and down the goal looking like a bouncing ball. Shit must have knocked me out cause I ain't feel the ground at all. Wow, what the fuck happened last night? Where am I? Man, fuck am I hungover and goddamn I got a headache. Shit, half a Vicodin? Why can't I? All systems ready for takeoff. Please stand by.
Sometimes I feel so alone, I just don't know. Feels like I've been down this road before. So lonely and cold, it's like something takes over me as soon as I go home and close the door. Kinda feels like deja vu. I wanna get away from this place I do, but I can't and I won't. Say I try, but I know that's a lie, cause I don't. And why I just
so
don't
know. So I take a like it and splash, it hits my stomach and a couple of weeks go by, it ain't even like I'm getting high. Now I need it just not to feel sick, yeah I'm getting by. Wouldn't even be taking this shit if the Sean didn't die. Oh yeah, there's an excuse, you lose, Boosie, you use. There's new rules, it's cool if it's helping you to get through. It's 12 noon, ain't no harm in
self-inducing a snooze. What else is new? Fuck it, what Elvis do in your shoes? Now here I am 3 months later, full-blown relapse. Just get high until the kids get home from school. Homes, relax. And since I'm convinced that I'm an insomniac, I need these pills to be able to sleep, so I take 3 naps just to be able to function throughout the day. Let's see, that's an Ambien each nap. How many value? 3. And that will average out to about 1 good hour's sleep. Okay, so now you see the reason how come he has taken 4 years to just put out an album beat. See, me and you, we almost had the same outcome heat. Cause that Christmas, you know the whole pneumonia thing? It was Bologna. Was it the methadone ya think? But a hydrocodone, you hide inside your pornos, your VCR tape cases, with your Ambien CR. Great places to hide them, ain't it? So you can lie to Haley. I'm going Betty by Whitney, baby. Good night, Elena. Go in the room and shut the bedroom door and wake up in an ambulance. They said they found me on the bathroom floor. Damn.
Sometimes I feel so alone, I just don't know. Feels like I've been down this road before. So lonely and cold, it's like something takes over me. Soon as I go home and close the door, kinda feels like deja vu. I wanna get away from this place, I do. But I can't and I won't. Say I try, but I know that's a lie. Cause I don't, and why, I just don't know.
Okay, with that, guys, we are running out of time here. So if you are just tuning in or just tuning in the middle, this has been All Access Pass, but a very special episode. This has been the Feeling Weird takeover episode. And we want to thank Kai for coming on and speaking to us. Oh, sorry. Can you say that again? Your mic wasn't on.
Thanks for having me.
Yay. So with that, we want to thank everyone for listening. I know this isn't the easiest topic to talk about, but I think it's one that definitely needs to be talked about, especially last week with Suicide Awareness Day, especially we are centered on a campus, and it's really important that we talk about mental illness and a lot of the misconceptions that come around it. I wanted to thank the collective. Lauren and Deepy are still in the studio. We've had a couple members have to peace out and head to class, but you guys did an excellent job. Yeah. Is there anything else you guys want to say?